Good morning. Today is Monday, June the 7th. It kind of feels like it ought to be an election day. Joining us this morning from the Eureka Police Department, Brian Stevens. Nice to see you, buddy.
Good morning, Brian. How you been?
Well, less challenged than you guys. How's that?
I'm sure.
Boy, you're walking with more media on you than I do.
Well, it's, you know, if you're going to set the example and have body cameras and have all the equipment for your guys and gals, you need a
all you need is like
too,
a still camera now and a tripod, and you're off to the races. Maybe a microphone dangling from somewhere, too. Yeah. Are you ready for your – oh, you haven't seen this, have you?
I never do good at this stuff, Brian.
Actually, some of these are kind of simple enough where we've had a surprisingly high success rate. Not that that's going to put any pressure on you whatsoever.
I did tell you I was educated in Kentucky, right? So be gentle. Be gentle with me.
Let's see if I can find something would be appropriate. Okay, I've got I'll even give you choices. Okay? We've got something about tennis. Okay, certainly with the French Open going on. We've got portholes in a ship. Okay, so a little nautical. And then wedding rings.
Let's go with tennis.
All right. Why are tennis balls fuzzy?
To add more grip.
The fuzz slows down the ball in flight, keeping it from bouncing too high and lets the rackets get a better grip on the ball. A perfectly smooth ball would travel so fast and bounce so high that the game would be unplayable. Also, with a smooth ball, it would be much more difficult for the player to control the direction of the shots. There you go.
I get partial credit for that?
Absolutely. It's 15:30.
Okay, gotcha.
That's probably some kind of police code I just stepped in.
No,
okay.
You're good.
Oh, boy. Any kind of an update for folks with the, I guess it would be called the internal investigation or investigation of staff that's going on, as much as you can share?
Yeah, I really don't have much to say, Brian. I just know that the investigation is ongoing. Any updates about the investigation would have to come out of the city manager's or city attorney's office.
It's just bumped out of the PD entirely.
Yeah, so the PD has no control over the investigation. It's being handled by the city and an outside investigator.
That probably makes most sense. Just arm's length, and then nobody's questioning decisions or determinations that may be made.
Definitely certain investigations are better handled outside of the department. It makes it cleaner all around. And this is one that definitely is in the appropriate place probably to be handled by the city and by an outside firm.
You know, I guess you can't make allowances and anticipate all kinds of things that staff may do or may not do. I mean, you'd have a book that would be so thick, somebody would probably have to go out on disability trying to move the darn thing. Something like this happens. Do you guys kind of fall back, reset, let the troops know, okay, guys, we forgot to talk about this one, but here's now what we're doing? Or does it have to go through the unions? I mean, what happens after something like this when you have your V8 moment?
Yeah, it's the responsibility of the administration and the sergeants to take this message back to the troops, reaffirm policies and procedures. We do get lax. The people, you know, don't always – you're human. I mean,
remember,
that's just it.
Yeah.
You're human.
Yeah.
So we have certain policies every year that we go over at the beginning of the year that are required. And then there's times like this where things come up that you may not have remembered or, you know, social media policies that you may get lax on. And we take the opportunity when they arise to go back over those policies and try to help, you know, reassure they don't happen again.
Now, one of the things I would think you guys get questions about as we do, too. Political signs, political bumper stickers, things of that nature, wearing certain shirts, you know, T-shirts with logos and slogans and things like that. You know, we pretty much try to discourage it as much as possible. Do you guys have something comparable?
Yes, absolutely. So on duty, it's absolutely any type of political message.
Nothing on the squad cars.
Forbidding. Nothing on the squad cars. Not wearing pins on your uniforms, those kind of things. And then outside of that,
somebody did do that, didn't they? Decades back.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Had some kind of,
Yeah. Okay. You know, and then even off duty, our policy requires us to hold a certain standard and represent the department in a professional manner. So that's why your conduct is truly never your conduct.
You guys are 24 hours.
Yes.
Like we are.
Yeah. You're seeing the public as always being on duty and representing the police department. So you kind of carry yourself in a different manner at all times.
Is that tougher for the younger guys or the older guys?
I think it's tougher for the younger guys, especially in this generation of social media and just the willingness to want to share everything about your life, which personally the older guys typically don't understand.
Yeah.
So getting them into the fold of where, you know, minor little posts could create some type of unfortunate circumstance for them in their workplace.
Yeah, a storm, a firestorm sometimes.
Very well could, yes.
Even if it's... Yeah, and the thing I suppose that makes it most challenging is the misinterpretation. I mean, the intent may not have been there. The way that they said it might not have been the best, but what they were trying to communicate, milk is white. Okay.
Yeah.
But it takes on its own life and flares out, and then you get beat up by it and over and over.
Perceptions goes a long way in how things are, the community and the public receives things you put out there.
Really?
Yes.
Even like where you have lunch?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Where you shop, everything.
Yeah. I would think for the older folks, it gets a little tiresome also. You know, maybe not the social media part of it, but okay. And now, you know, I've been around the block a couple times now. I kind of have a sense of what's going on. Well, you know, this person is somebody who really needs our support. What do you mean I can't give it to them?
So you can give it to them, you just have to give it to them as a private citizen. So, I mean, when it comes to, like, you can endorse certain candidates and things, but you cannot endorse them on behalf of the department or the union. You have to do it as Joe Citizen, whoever you are.
So yard signs. Private citizen?
Yes.
Not representative of the police department?
Correct.
What if you have your squad car with you?
It's not on the squad car. You're still allowed to have your own private yard.
Okay, just don't strap it to the front grill and you're okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, but I had you pause to think there for a sec.
That's a part of this whole process. You got to stop and think.
You
got to
think also. Yes. Oh, my. All right. Hopefully that's on the intake interview. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from Eureka Police Department. June, early June, typically means that we've got high school graduations and all these types of things, but, you know, typically isn't a word that is used on a regular basis in the last little bit. But we're seeing the tourists. Lots of foreign plates. We'll just kind of put it there, whether they're tourists or whatever. Relocates, I guess, would be the other term. Are you seeing any weirdness on the streets?
No, not really. And I was fortunate enough to be out Saturday night, the Arts Live, the first Arts Live, the soft opening. And it was good to see a lot of tourists. There are a lot of people in town. I've heard our TOT is doing really well. The hotels are full, and just people wanted to be out Saturday night and get to know Eureka, know what was going on. And it was really nice to see people out again.
It was, now were they wearing masks?
Some were, some weren't. I mean, I guess when they went into the businesses, outside, they were, but just the general walking on the sidewalks and listening to music and stuff, most of them weren't.
That was the weirdest thing for me. Nice, but watching some of the highlights of the basketball games, crowds, full, no mask, you know, and it's jurisdictional.
Yeah, it is.
Place by place. It just... it was like, hey, look, kind of thing. And I would suspect as we start having more and more activities here, something comparable. Are you aware of what's going to go on with the 4th of July? Is there an Old Town event this year? Is it going to be as we would recognize it in the past? What's
not quite. So they're not going to have an Old Town festival, but they will have the fireworks this year. So
no street fair.
No street fair this year, but the fireworks will take place, and we'll have some messaging coming out about how that's going to happen and parking lots and social distancing and things that are going to be in place to try to help out with a little bit of that.
At night, in the fog. Obviously, we always have fog. And yeah.
Hey, we got to put the parameters in place. Yeah. Enforcing them is going to be the...
Or at least have a reference point for people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's got to be one of the weirdest, coolest, funnest, toughest days of the year for you guys.
It is. You know, it's a whole roller coaster because back, we'll say 19, when you had the Old Town Fair, it's just a great day to see tens of thousands of people in Old Town having a good time, their families. I really enjoy the fact there's no alcohol down there, so it's really low-key, and the families can have a good time, get a chance to talk to people, and then you have that transition as it gets closer to the fireworks and certain areas where we can't control the alcohol, and then fireworks people are setting off themselves, and those risks that comes with that, and trying to manage that, and then trying to have people have a good time, and actually hopefully the fog's high enough you see the fireworks. So it's a whole range, and then getting all that traffic out of Old Town safely without getting anybody hurt is it's a long, long day.
Yeah, I would suspect. Now, when there are the private fireworks, I guess would be the way to say it, do you guys respond? Does the fire, does sheriff, I mean, who, does everybody?
Are just around town?
Yeah, around town, out on the spit, I kind of look at it and go, well, you know what, if they're firing it out over the ocean, there's so many other things that you guys could spend your time with. I wouldn't get too fired up about that. But the ones that are in neighborhoods, the ones that are from the tops of buildings, things like that, where somebody could get hurt or a fire could ensue. So that's a different dynamic.
Kind of have two different approaches. 4th of July, definitely anything downtown is off limits. We try the best we can to make it off limits. We could lose too much of Old Town in a heartbeat with the wrong type of firework. The problem is leading up to the 4th of July and then after the 4th of July. A lot of people don't understand the 4th of July is the holiday. It's not June 5th, whatever, this weekend when they were setting off fireworks and we're getting calls for it. So typically, if it's in the city, we respond to that stuff. 4th of July, we do a mutual aid kind of stuff with the fire department where we may team a cop up with a fireman out on foot to try to deal with some of these issues in the Old Town area.
Cool.
Yeah, so it just matters on staffing, matters on the amount of people that are available to do that. But generally, if it's in the city, then it's the police department's job to respond to that. We ask that, people call it in a lot of times. We got a lot of complaints last year. We had a task force meeting on it. We're going to have a little different approach this year. But if you can give us the actual address other than I seen it in the air, it really does help us. We can address it if we can find it. But you know how long it takes to set a mortar off? You walk out in the middle of the street, you set it off, or set it off in your backyard, you're back inside.
No, just for clarity, no, I don't.
So it's by the time we get there, or even if we were close and seen it go up, if people go back in their house, it's hard to find actually where it was set off and who set it off. So
scorched earth policy doesn't really work.
It doesn't,
no.
And then
is it illegal to fire or to light off a firecracker or fire? Well, firecracker, yes. But out of season fireworks?
It's not illegal in the state. It's illegal to have anything that leaves the ground. So any type of bottle rocket, mortar, anything like that's illegal in the state of California.
Lift off, yeah.
But there's no season, let's say, on fireworks that when you can and can't use them.
They ought to make those cat things also. You just kind of sit there and...
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, that was the biggest disappointment, having one of those things. Okay, great. Now what?
Yeah. And it's tough because people have been bottled up so long. And, we want families to have a good time. So we just want them to do it safely.
And it's safe to have a barbecue now, too.
It is.
So you don't have to go on barbecue patrol.
No. We'll be good, especially by
July.
But you
had a lot of volunteers on that one, though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, those guys are like, I'll take all those calls.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. Can you imagine getting lit up for having a barbecue with more than six people?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, too much fun.
Unrealistic.
Yeah, no kidding. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back at Talking Shop this morning with Captain Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. You want to take another shot at a question?
Sure.
You really?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, probably not.
If I go 500, that's a good standing in baseball.
Yeah. So. put you in the Hall of Fame, baby. He'll write books about
exactly.
You then. summertime, any special challenges, or do we just kind of keep chugging along? We talked about the 4th and about tourists, you know, I guess the other thing would be just the budget coming up. But who knows what is going to be happening with the budget. You know, the state has its surplus.
Yeah, we have a budget. I know the budget came before council last Tuesday. We have a special budget meeting this Tuesday night. And then it's
you say we like you're on, you got
we like
got
I will be there. Yes, I will be there Tuesday night for the special budget meeting.
And in person?
Well, it's by Zoom still. Yes, I've had about enough of Zoom calls and Zoom meetings. But the week after, it's supposed to be adopted. So we'll know by the end of, obviously, I think it's the 22nd.
So without any significant change. Okay.
I think the city is in a good place right now is what I've heard. Measure H obviously doesn't come into effect until July. But I think looking at the way the economy has rebounded, it's going to be very beneficial for the city. I think there were some surplus monies from some of the aid that came from the state and from the federal government that's going to be used to help push the budget forward in certain areas. I think our budget is going to stay status quo, slightly elevated in certain areas. That'll help us with certain line items. But as far as staffing goes, our staffing is going to increase by positions that city council allocated as part of their visioning meeting, but the rest of our allocations will come at a later point when the budget increases slightly.
Now, with the staffing, does that include the mental health folks that are, I guess, on call for you folks if there's a need? Or is that still DHHS and you just kind of like pay an hourly or something?
We don't pay for any type of mental health clinicians from DHHS, so they work in conjunction with us. So that's a part of their positions that work with our CSET team out in the field. We call them out and they help us on different types of calls. They're paid by Department of Health and Human Services, and it's just a mutual agreement that we have that we work together. Same way they don't pay our salaries if they call us to go and help them with a client that they're having issues with.
That's logical.
It does make a little bit of sense, doesn't it?
That's concerning. It's disturbing. So the projections are that there's going to be an increase in sales tax in the city. When it bumps to 9.25, at some point, guys are going to be buying in the county. I wonder, is there a contingency plan if it doesn't work?
That's a good question, Brian. I don't know if I'm the right guy to answer that question.
I was thinking for the department specifically, not.
I think no.
Or do you get guaranteed that you're going to get the whatever the budget says? You guys get that, and it comes out of other areas if the numbers aren't there.
Yeah, I think the city's done a good job when they're creating this budget coming up that it's balanced enough that what we've asked for we should be able to get and it won't be taken away at some later point. So I think they're trying to avoid those types of things. And I think that, even after COVID, this last 6 months of 2020 and going into 2021, I think they realized that the sales tax really has bounced back and it's not as gloomy as everyone thought it was going to be. So
yeah, I suspect that a lot of people aren't going to drive outside into the county to buy, whatever it is. But at some point, that there is that tipping point somewhere. I don't know if 9 1/4 is it, if it's 10.
Yeah.
If it's 15, you know, who knows? I shouldn't even say that.
Yeah.
Where it is, just changing in patterns. Speaking of which, you've got the zoo now and the
Skywalk.
Thank you. The walk in the trees is my thought with that. That's going to shift. That's going to cause some changes, just like some of the bulb outs in the streets are going to cause changes and ripples and some anticipated and some unanticipated. Are you guys having to change your patrol patterns because of what's going on out at the zoo, either the new construction in the park side or with the increased levels of visitation at the zoo itself?
No, we have not had to adjust anything at this point. I was fortunate enough to be out at the ribbon cutting for the Skywalk the other day and got a chance to walk on that. It is absolutely incredible piece of architecture. And it was amazing to see how many people were there. I mean, just the whole time we're having the ceremony, kid after kid after, you know, family just walking above your head. I think it's going to be a great thing for the city. Generally, that area, we're going to have some traffic issues. The more people it attracts because, you know, parking.
Well, there were traffic issues.
Yeah, now, I mean, it's going to be more because the parking on the street is both sides of the street. You have people that are going to cross everywhere they can. You have the school that we're still going to have to deal with, the school zone there. And then we have, you know, our Parks and Waterfront Ranger will be responsible for Sequoia Park. And as that construction.
Oh, really? So they've got to run over there as well as handle it down along the waterfront?
They're responsible for all the parks in the city and the waterfront trail, yes. So so as much as we can.
Do they get a motor scooter at least?
They do have a side-by-side that they can use to get around. So, but I'm looking forward to the construction at Sequoia Park. I know they're going to make it different entrance, ingress, egress type things, so you don't have to go all the way down the duck pond to get out. I think there's a lot of good things happening with lighting. It'll be safer and more open, more inviting. And I think that side of town is really going to flourish with these two projects.
It's really been a long time since the bathroom syndrome was an issue at the park. I mean, that seemed like it was almost a daily event when there would be a drug bust or something goofy going on. Has it gone down, the activity level, the bad?
The negative activity level, I believe it has. And I think, you know, just like with any location, the more you put people in there that are using the location for what it was meant for, the less likely you are to have criminal type activity there because there's more eyes, there's more people taking up the space, and it just doesn't attract the attention or attracts too much attention to them and what they're trying to do. So, you know, that's why we encourage, you know, people get out, use the parks, use those types of areas because it does help eliminate some of the criminal activity that takes place.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens. Brian, the changes of the community are going on around us. You know, we see it. There's actually homes that are being renovated and flipped and all these things that we hear about other places, which is kind of cool. I mean, it's kind of tough if you're trying to get into the market, but it's kind of cool to see that these properties now are worth the investment because they are going to be able to get the return where that has not been the case in so very long. Seeing this, these new folks coming into the community, how are they interacting with the department? Is it nice to see you? Or is it you dirty, rotten, or somewhere in between? Are you starting to get kind of that feedback yet?
Yeah, you know, it's we meet a lot of people. Like I say, on Saturday night, you know, at Arts Alive, I meet a lot of people. I don't know all of them to be citizens of the city of Eureka or if they're transplants or if they're tourists. But overall, the community support for the department across the board has still been very positive. enjoy people saying it's nice to see you out here, thanks for being down here, want to stop and talk about the sunset, whatever was going on.
A regular conversation.
Just yes, and nothing to do about work, truly. You know, they don't ask a lot of questions about, is the crime bad down here? They more want to know, where can I go get a drink? Where can I get a good meal tonight? You know, what is this? What is this happening tonight? You know, that kind of thing, because so much has been shut down. And, you know, fortunately, they landed in Eureka on a night where, you know, everything was open a little later and things were going on. So, but yeah, I can't, and I can't say it will never happen, but I don't walk into Costco. I don't, you know, I don't hide my uniform anywhere. I wear my uniform everywhere I go, and I'm constantly being stopped by people who, you know, they don't generally take the time to write an article in the paper or write something to a blog or, you know, something like that. But if they see you out and about and they take the time to actually stop and have their kids say thank you, or they say thank you, it doesn't get any better than that. I was in Walgreens the other day and a lady's like, do you have any stickers? And I'm like, yeah, I think I do in my car. It's like, I got a car full of kids out there who just love to see you. And so I went to my car, got some stickers, went over there. Four little boys in there, most polite, just love to see you. Thank you for what you do. I mean, just incredible. And they're all under 7 years old. That kind of interaction is why you do the job.
Kind of stickers?
Just police stickers, little junior police officer badges.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, passing out giant stickers, or I, you know, I just wasn't really sure what.
Yeah. We stick to the profession a little bit.
That's right. Well, that's got to be cool, because you can get sucked into the morass really fast.
Yeah, you need those positive reaffirm, you know, to people to reaffirm what you're doing, and just that people really do support you and believe in what you're doing and appreciate you.
So you bring those stories back to the troops?
Yes, as much as I can. Yes. And, you know, we get phone calls to the department, and Katie will put out emails to everyone saying, hey, they called in to say thank you, or particular officers will get commendations, but it goes to everyone to show that what they did is important to somebody.
Everybody's all there.
Yeah.
I would suppose that on the other side of that, some of these vehicles that don't look like they're mobile anymore. Is that your area of jurisdiction, or is that code enforcement? Who gets to play that game?
So vehicle abatement falls under the realm of the police department. I oversee our volunteer vehicle abatement program. It was on a hiatus for about a year because of COVID. Our volunteers were, you know, concerned for their health. And so I took on, you know, towing as many cars as I could in the meantime. But to be honest with you, it wasn't a priority during COVID just because of everything else that was going on. About 5 weeks ago, my primary volunteer returned to work, and me and her have been working together, well, for 4 years now, and we've already towed like 80 cars, I believe, in 5 weeks.
80 cars inside the jurisdictional lines of Eureka?
Oh, yeah. And that's just a scratch on the surface.
Really?
It would take us 4 months to catch up with
now,
the amount of complaints.
Go?
So if it's got a value of less than $500, we tow them directly to Eel River. We have a contract or have an agreement with Eel River, yes. We hold them for about 15 days. We have to send out certified letters to the owners. So if they want a chance to reclaim their vehicle, they can do that. And then after 15 days, they become the property of Eel River because they're a low-value vehicle and they get crushed.
But you got 80 of them, and do you think there's multiples of that?
Oh, yes, sir. It's we have, honestly, Brian, it would take us at this rate probably 4 months to just catch up with the amount of complaints that I have over the last year and abandoned cars. Now, to be honest with you, though, we tag a ton of cars. About 75% of the vehicles we tag as being potentially abandoned are self-corrected. So the owner's like, oh, crap, I got to move my car, or I'll let the insurance company just take it because it's wrecked, or I need to call Eel River myself or Johns or somebody and get rid of this. So fortunately, people recognize that when we bring it to their attention. But still, yeah, it's an enormous undertaking right now.
I would think that there's nothing more good guy than having one of those things taken out of your neighborhood.
It gets some of the most positive responses, for sure.
Very cool. Well, keep having fun.
All right, Brian, thank you.
And passing out the stickers.
Always.
See everybody tomorrow.